is me. My name is Stone Cold. Now there's another Sholem Cold from this view. Well, right, he's the other Sholem Cold. I am the real one. I live in Harnov. I came on Aliyah 28 years ago from West Hempstead. You're from West Hempstead? Where do you live? Naples. That's a beautiful street for Christmas. All the trees. Lives on Maple Street. Now you see what I gave up to come on Aliyah? It was worth it. It was worth it. The best thing I ever did in my life. Brought my family and wife and five children, and we came here to Eretz Yisrael and Baruch Hashem 28 years later. All of the children are living here. All my grandchildren were born in this country. Nearly all of them speak Hebrew to English with a heavy accent. And I love it. But I've lived for about 23, 24 years in Harnov. If you ever get to Harnov, everybody has somebody in Harnov. Now if you look up to the top of the hill, you'll see a beautiful shul with wings coming off the roof. That's Gold Shul. I was zeichet to be the one to build that shul. Can you imagine? I'm a little boy from Williamsburg. I was born in Brooklyn. To be zeichet, I would never in my wildest dreams have imagined that someday I'd be a chod in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. You can't imagine it. It still blows my mind. I mean, I could have been a rabbi of the Fifth Avenue Synagogue. I could have been in Hollycrest or Teaneck or who knows how many other places. Where does it all come to being a chod? For that matter, not being a chod, being a resident of this great city, Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. The baby shalom. Thank you. By the way, since I'm running the show already this morning, before you know it, this afternoon, I can take over the yeshiva right now. I want to introduce a guest who's here, Rabbi Nachman Kahana. You know Rabbi Nachman Kahana? You should know him because he is the author of, I don't know how many, 50 volumes of Mei Menuchos. If you don't know Tosfos, you need Rabbi Nachman Kahana. And he's the chov of the... I don't like to call it the Muslim quarter of the old city, the Kahana quarter of the old city.
What about you, the other Kodesh?
I'm living now part-time in the Galil. I divide my time between the Galil and Yerushalayim. And last week, one summer, I was up. I spent the week up in the Galil. And then, of course, you know, there's a great deal going on over there. People are coming from all over the world. They're on their way to Miron, to the Kever of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. I decided not to go to the Kever of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. I decided I'm going someplace else. And I think it was probably in part with Rabbi Nachman's inspiration. For Rav Shimon ben Yochai, like Bema this year, was an awesome occasion. What was Rav Shimon ben Yochai? He learned the Gemara in Shabbos, Taflam and Kibble. Rav Shimon ben Yochai was a fugitive from Rome. A fugitive. He had to hide in a cave for 13 years because Rome had put out a contract on his head. And on this year, Lachtoma, you understand, 400,000 people are celebrating in Miron. And the vicar of Rome arrives in Eretz Yisrael, you understand? The Pope arrives in Eretz Yisrael. He has most probably a few honor guards that don't know how to shoot a gun. And here he is, as Rav Nachman described it, he is received in this country by Tzva Hagana Yisrael, you understand? Rome is long gone. There is a soil, Rav Shimon ben Yochai is Eretz Yisrael, going strong. Famous Gemara in Brachos, Rav Shimon ben Yochai says, Gimel Matzos Tovos are three good gifts that God gave the Klal Yisrael. He gave them Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and all of Avot, the Chulam lo nitnu ela yedei Yisurim, and all of them are given only with suffering. What suffering means is to become a Talmud Chacham, you have to work. To be Kona Eretz Yisrael, you have to put in tremendous amount of effort. Nobody simply comes flying in and settles down in Eretz Yisrael and he's made it. Anything that's good in this world has to be acquired. Gimel HaPanas Tov, and Olam HaBa. I've said on a number of occasions, did you ever hear anybody say, Rebbeinu Shalom, you know, Torah is a great gift, but you're not good. Sonny, I'm kind of sick here. I can pass on the gift. Keep your gift. Somebody will say, hey, Olam Haba is a good desire. Guys on top don't even know Yiddish. That was a song we used to sing. Olam Haba is a good desire. Can you imagine somebody saying, great gift, you know, keep your Olam Haba. Now, how many people do I meet, yeshiva from America, who are learning over here, and you ask them, do you plan on living here? No. I've got this 100 times. The lifestyle, Parnassa, my family, every excuse in the world, but the idea of living here doesn't occur to them. You know what they're saying? Eventually, keep your matan. Thank God the Chumash Rashi, I want you at least, after all that I have to say, at least you should know one Rashi. For some strange reason, this Rashi is either not known, or it's forgotten, or people never learned it in the first place, because it's at the end of a Sedra. Rashis at the end of a Sedra have a difficult time getting known. So I'm going to make sure that you can know this Rashi. It's at the end of Parshas Bo. It happens to be in one of the Parshas of Tefillin. And it shall come to pass when our Kodesh Baruch Hu would bring you to the land of the Kanani Asher Nishbar Lechol Melavu Tefa that he swore to give to you and to your fathers, Unetanalach, and he will give it to you. And Rashi is sensitive to the fact that to these words, Unetanalach, are sort of an add-on to the pasuk that are unnecessary. So Rashi says, Unetanalach, Tehei Bei Necha. This gift, Rav Shimon Ben Yochai's gift that he's talking about, this gift of Eretz Yisrael, Tehei Bei Necha, should be in your eyes, Ki Ilu Nitna Lecha Bo Vayom. And so you got it today. Ba'al Tehei Bei Necha Ki Yerush HaSlava. You should never look at Eretz Yisrael like it's an inheritance. You know, you got a Yerusha, and then it loses its excitement. One of the most important issues that I want to talk about is the fact that never there is a loss of excitement. When Jews didn't have Eretz Yisrael, the longing, the yearning, the tefillahs, now we got it, take it or leave it. Tragic. I've talked to people about Yom Yerushalayim. No. It's a srugi yanta, big deal. They're both jumping around with their flags and they think that this is a big yanta. It's pitiful, it's pathetic. That's why I went, not to the kaver of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Rav Shimon ben Yochai was in good shape. I went to the kaver of Rabbi Akiva. It's in Tveria, on the mountain. I went to the kever of Rabbi Akiva on Lag BaOmer at night. There was a bonfire there. Nothing compared to the bonfire of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, but that's okay. I can take it. And there was a Nachman band that was knocking away over there. You couldn't hear yourself. And there were people standing saying Tillim, and people were davening. Go, me. I didn't say Tillim. I didn't daven, but I found exactly what I was looking for. I think the Rebbeinu placed it there. It was a Tanakh. I took out a Tanakh, and I stood by Rabbi Akiva's keter, and I opened up the Tanakh to Sefer Zechariah in Trei Osam, and I went to chapter 8. How many of you finished Masechta Makkos for your bar mitzvah? Well, if you didn't, you better take a look at the very last story in the Gemara, the end of Masechta Makkos. The Gemara says, Shuv Pam Achas, there was another time that Chachmei Yisrael, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, they were walking from Harat Sofim, and they saw Har Habayit, and they came in and they saw Shu'al of wax that was coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They began to cry. Rabbi Akiva smiled. So, you know the conversation over there. Why are you smiling? They ask him. Why are you crying? He asks them. So they say, what are you talking about? The place where Hazor HaKorei, you lost it, only a praying bubble on Yom Kippur was able to go to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And now Shu'olim Hilchu Bo Nifke, you shouldn't cry. So they say that he said, that's exactly why I am smiling. Because when I see that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam fulfilled the prophecy of Churban so precisely and so exact that I am certain that he will also fulfill the prophecy of Nechama. And which prophecy did he tell them? The prophecy of Zechariah. Thank God somebody made a song of it, otherwise it would be a forgotten passage. Oh, Yeshu Zekenim Uzekenos V'Rechobot Yerushalayim V'ish Mishanto V'yado Meirov Yamin. Elderly men and women will sit in the streets of Yerushalayim, each with a staff, a cane, because of their old age. V'yaladim V'yaladot Nisachakim V'Rechoboteha. And children, boys and girls, are going to play in the streets of Yerushalayim. What an awesome prophecy he told to Chachmei Yisrael, to which they responded, Akiva Nichamtonu, Akiva Nichamtonu, Akiva, you have consoled us, you have consoled us. I stood there at the Kever and I said the following to Rabbi Akiva, if I have a can of spray paint, and I'd be allowed to spray paint, I would cover this country with signs, Rabbi Akiva Sadak. Rabbi Akiva Sadak. He was absolutely right. You walk through the streets of this city, and you know what you see before yourself? The fulfillment of a magnificent nevuah. It's not stum walking through the streets. You should be aware that what you're seeing is nevuah being fulfilled. Bracha from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. You can't walk around this city and just like it's another city, okay, let's, you just make your way around the city, as we get to Center One for pizza, who knows where else you have to go, or Cafe Rimon when you're in a good mood. This is a city where the Dvar Hashem is fulfilled before your very eyes. I don't know of any nevuah that's being fulfilled in New York, I'm afraid to say, not even in Westminster, on Main Street. Here, the fulfillment of nevuah. You know what that means for all of you? There is no longer, and it's a while now, that there's no longer any necessity whatsoever to try and learn sophisticated proofs that Torah is MS. Divrei HaNeviim Emes, all you have to do is open up your eyes. Why aren't more people excited? I live in a community that Yom Yerushalayim will come and go, and most probably for many of them, the 4th of July means more than Yom Yerushalayim. Rebbeinu, forgive me, I don't want to talk ill of myself. There's no question about it. How can somebody not be moved and thrilled and excited just by seeing what's happening in the streets of Yerushalayim? How can people be so lost to the extent that they can't they don't get it. They just plain don't get it. Why is it that people remain unmoved by major events? Why don't people get excited when observing scenes of prophetic import? What's going on over here? There are a number of possibilities. One is that, you know, whatever we used to, we take it for granted. You know, this is what Yerushalayim is. You know, they're old people, they're young people. That's one possibility. There's another possibility. And I think for many that may be the possibility. They're totally unaware of Jewish history. They don't have a clue. When I meet up with people that, I'm hot summers. If there are people that I'm ready to kill, it's when somebody says that. Doesn't understand it's Russian. Treat of the Iker. You're being paid for in the great matana that the Revation gave, and it should not be in your eyes, Kiyum Shasovas. The Revation gave our generation the greatest gift in 2,000 years, and don't mean nothing. Walk around with your nose down. I have to say, the flag on my car lasted longer this year than most years in Harnov. In the morning, what would I think about in the morning when I look out the window and I see my flag still on the car by the dawn's early light? What so proudly we talked of other? There I saw my flag. My flag. I'm proud of that flag. That's right. I'm proud of that play. I think that maybe if people would learn history, if they would know, I'll tell you, I suggest to you, I'm reading two books right now, rereading two books, and they're blowing my mind. I don't think a person can even begin to fathom what Yom HaTzmaut is without reading those books. And there are a few more that I'm trying to get my hands on. None is Too Many. Irving Abella. None is Too Many is the story of how the Canadian government, before, during, and after the Second World War, made certain not to rescue a single Jewish child. It's an awesome story of such profound hatred, wouldn't take Jewish children in. And it was one of the Canadians who made the comment, none is too many. There were opportunities in 41 and 42 to save 20, 30,000 Jewish children who were being held in Vichy, France, south of France. Wouldn't lift a finger. By the way, the American government was no better. The American government, the politics of rescue by Henry Feingold, or while 6 million died by Robert Morse, the whole world was closed shut to Jews. No place where to go. You're going to tell me that when Eretz Yisrael becomes open to Klal Yisrael, that every Jew in the world has a place where to go? That's not a chesed gadol of the Revation. You have to be out of your mind. Unless, of course, you don't feel the pain of millions of Jews who wanted to get here and were never able to make it. Don't feel the pain. And maybe if they would read a book called The Secret Road by David Kimtey, where he describes one of the greatest adventures of the human spirit, the Bricha. After the Second World War, hundreds of thousands of Jews remained in the same concentration camps that they were during the war, because very few countries in the world were ready to let them in. And you know what they started doing? From as far away as the steppes of Central Asia, Jews began to walk. They were walking in the direction of the Mediterranean, to some port in the Mediterranean, because they heard that there may be boats going to Eretz Yisrael. Hundreds of thousands of people walked. They walked across the Alps. You know, we can get onto a plane, 9 3/4 hours, we don't appreciate it. We don't know Jewish history. We don't know Jewish history of our time. How many thousands got onto boats that were not unseaworthy? How many died at sea? Britain shut Eretz Yisrael. Shut Eretz Yisrael. 1939, when Jews needed Eretz Yisrael more than at any other time in history, they locked it shut. So Jews fought their way into Eretz Yisrael. We would have had Eretz Yisrael in the 30s, 6 million Jews would have been there. Anybody who's going to go and tell me, oh, you're my Thomas, nothing happened over there. You're out of his mind. They're out of their minds. How can one not stand up and say to the British, look what you did for us? I'm just going to tell you something now, very briefly, because I don't have the time to go into a full extent of it. Shir that I personally heard from Rav Palm, who was the Hashira of Teravadas, Ish Tzadik Vekol Yisrael, where he discusses the idea that after every tragedy in Jewish history, there comes a period of great chesed, where the Rebbein Shlomo opens up the very heavens and pours kindness upon his people. He wants to rebuild his relationship with them. They suffered so much, Avinu Malkeinu wants to embrace them again. And it's a rule in Jewish history. He went through four periods in history, and then it came to our time. After the Shoah, Hakamat Medinat Yisrael was the great outpouring of Chesed. There were yeshiva about who said, Lord, I spoke to them the day after the Shir, they didn't have a quarter to say. Said it with such absolute clarity. We don't. You have to know Jewish history. It's the greatest adventure of the human spirit. No people. Ah. Seventeenth century. King Louis the 14th. Asked Pascal, the philosopher, scientist, prove to me that there are miracles. And Pascal, with a smile on his face, looks at the king and he says, the Jews, your majesty, the Jews. Proof of miracles, the Jews. And he went on to explain. And he didn't know yet what was going to happen over the next 300 years of the Shoah, and that they survived after that. We are a Nes Ben Hashemayim. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says in the introduction to the Siddur, he says, Chai Elokim, I swear to God, the survival of the Jewish people is greater than all the Nisim and the Floyers of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Look there, you'll see it. By the way, it's worthwhile just to go through that introduction of the Siddur Beis Yaakov, or Rav Yaakov Emden. He has a major section there called Sulam Beit El, where he talks about the mitzvah of Yeshiva Ha'aretz. But you know, I'm off the topic. Let's get back to the real thing. I sometimes have visions. I have fantasies. One of my fantasies was, someplace down here, right, like below the yeshiva, it's been a shmush and some young giants, and there's sort of some kind of a mysterious cloud light, and I begin to see figures moving through this, and I'm wondering, am I hallucinating, what's happening to me? And then these figures come, and they're standing over there. I get to talk to them. One of them says to me, my name is Moshe Ben Nachman. The Chamban. Moshe Ben Nachman, I'm actually shaking. Where am I? He says. telling Yuri Yerushalayim.
No,
please. Don't play with me. I'm asking a serious question. Where am I? I said Yuri Yerushalayim. I can't believe it. I came to Yerushalayim in 1267. There were a total of 2,000 people living in the city. No Jews were permitted to live there except two people who had received special permission. Two dyers who were in the dyeing business. B-Y-E, or however you spell it. There were two Jews in Yerushalayim. So I told the Ramban, take a look. Look how many Jews there are in this city. And I tell him, you should know, I want you to know a number of things. Number one, you've had a great impact on all of these Jews being here. We all know Mitzvah Dalet in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. You know Mitzvah Dalet? You all know Mitzvah Dalet? There's nobody who has a t-shirt with the Ramban on it, where the Ramban says that it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The long now's there not to leave it. You shouldn't leave it. And he thought that he was really arguing with the Rambam, that the Rambam didn't really hold that it was a mitzvah. So I told him, don't worry about it. You should know all the Achrayim said that the Rambam doesn't disagree with you. And furthermore, the Chazon Ish said a one-liner, Ukvar Huchro Ha'alocha Kedas HaRambam VaHaRambam. Rambam, you and the Rambam. The halacha has already been passed in, like the Rambam and the Ramban, that there's a mitzvah of Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael. V'yadua, the Chazon Ish wrote, V'yadua kama shof ha-Chofetz Chaim, and it's known how much the Chofetz Chaim wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael. Do you know what he wrote to his son? The Ramban wrote to his son famous letters. Ma gidlecha, what can I tell you, b'inyan ha'aretz? Rabo ha'azuba, gadol ha'shimamon, it's desolate. Uklono shel dava, the rule is, kol ha'mekudish mechaveru chorev yotem mechaveru, whatever is holier is more chorev, more destroyed. And Yerushalayim, the most destroyed of all, take a look, I tell the Ramban, give a cook of your Yerushalayim. In 1492, Rabbi Ovadia Mibartanura arrived in Yerushalayim. There were 70 families. In 200 years, it had grown from two Jews who just had special permission to live here until there were 70 families. I can take you through Rabbi Yosef Karo. Do you know what Rabbi Yosef Karo went through in order to get to Eretz Yisrael? The story of... He was expelled from Spain. The family went to Portugal. They were expelled a few years later from Portugal. They made their way with Misenet Floyds across the Mediterranean until they came to Turkey, to Constantinople. And from there they went to Adrianople. Then he had to end up in Bulgaria someplace until so Rabbi Yosef Karo arrived in Eretz Yisrael. The Alshech went through the same thing. Rabbi Shlomo Alkavitz, the Arizal. And there, next to the, buried next to Rabbi Akiva, is the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato. I had a lot to say to him, but I was very busy with giving Yashikayev to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Tzadak. We're talking about whatever you see before your very eyes over here. These are nisim and the floors. It's all part of a divine plan. And we're the beneficiaries. Don't ever take Yerushalayim or Eretz Yisrael for granted. You have to be able to see it, ki'ilu netona lecho, as though it was given to you bo bayom, that day. Everybody knows the Rashi that appears in Sefer Devarim about Torah. V'chol yom yiyu beinecho kachadoshim. But they don't know that Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be Bechol Yom Einecha Kechodesh, as though you got it now. Always to retain the excitement. Always to see its beauty, to see its significance, to see its Kedusha. Your Zeicher is something your grandparents, your great-grandparents would have given who knows what for this. And then there can be people who just walk. No. In 1955, gold arrived in Yerushalayim. Me. But, you know, we're moving already from the Rambam to Rav Ovadia ben Bar Tanura, the Or HaChaim HaKodesh, the Alshech, the Arizal, Rav Yisrael Tzadok, Ani HaKod, and I arrived in 1955. There were 146,000 people living in this city at the time. You know how many are living in this city now? Jews. How many Jews are living in this city now? It's kamat, just slightly under a half a million. When I told that to the Rambam, he jumped for joy. Just under a half a million. Do you know what that means? There are more Jews living in Yerushalayim today than lived in all of Eretz Yisrael at the time of the establishment of the state. The awesome growth of Klal Yisrael in this country, a kibbutz goyos unmatched and unparalleled in all of history. The fulfillment of hundreds of psukim of the Nevi'im. And we're here. We're right here. We're right here. In that chapter 8 of Zechariah, Yeladim v'yeladas v'sachakim v'rechavotea, the next pasuk that the Rebbeinu Shem says, Ki polei atova be'inechem, it will be a wonder in your eyes, God says, Gam ve'einai polei, in my eyes too. The Rebbeinu Shem says, he looks at Yerushalayim in those days, and he is overcome with amazement. What's one of the mitzvahs? Yesodiyot of Torah, Mahu Afata, just like the Rebbeinu Shem is Rachum, I have to be Rachum. Just like he looks with wonder and amazement at the kibbutz goyos in Yerushalayim, that's exactly the way we're supposed to look at it. It's very important, you have to know history. If you don't know history, you got it. You've lost it. I came in 1955. I learned part of the time, half of the time I learned economy, the other half I learned in Hebron. The yeshiva community in the country was so small, so paltry, so pitiful. It's unbelievable. And in 53 years, the explosion of Torah learning in this country, which you are a part of, is unparalleled in all of Jewish history. There's more Torah being learned in this country today than was in Europe before the war. If you don't know the history of what it looked like, you think it was always like this. It was not always like this. Great things have happened in this country. This secular country has so much Torah, it's awesome. They were still rationing food when I came here. I think by the time I left, rationing was over. There wasn't really enough food, so things were rationed. I think everybody was entitled to 2 eggs a week and an ounce of meat. I was learning then in Panovich, and you know, twice a week they had meatballs. Meatballs, wait a minute. 400 fellows in the yeshiva, where did they get all the meatballs from? So they tell you, well, Americana that you are, don't you know? That's what it says in Benching. Who no same lechem lechol bosar. They didn't get it. You mix it with bread. You know Hebrew? Who no tame lechem lechol bosar. So you have all sorts of, you're able to have all of that. By the way, I've told some of my friends in the Chutzlars, I don't have a clue how they eat 3 times a day. I'm not sure. So if they don't wash, not so bad. But if they wash, they have to bench. And 3 times a day they have to say, Neda lecha Hashem elokeinu al shenchalto avisenu eretz chenda tova rechava. We thank you, Rebbeinu Shem, that you gave us such a desire. And he sits there and he says it. It has absolutely no impact on him. Makes absolutely no difference. God Almighty, you should jump out of your skin and say, I'm thanking the liberation for Eretz Chen Do Tov Rechova. I should be Chomei Dioretz. I should run there. if I'm giving you guys a guilty conscience that I'm succeeding, go say no to the Hashem or King. The place where every Jew is right here. This is the place. There's a mitzvah to live here. And by the way, if somebody is going to be a little wise guy and tell you, not everybody holds such a mitzvah, you know. What's the mitzvah? All right, so the Rambam. What about Ramesh? You know what Ramesh says? Boy, we got to educate him. Ramesh says that it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis. It's not an obligatory mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. A mitzvah kiyumis means that if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you get credit for it. You have fulfilled the mitzvah. By the way, precisely the same thing was said by Rav Soloveitchik, and it's brought in the Sefer Panine Harav from Rav Hershel Shechta on the first page. And he quotes it in the name of Rav Avishai David, who lives in Beit Shemesh, is a Chov in Beit Shemesh, but the Chov told him the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah kiyumis, not a mitzvah chiyumis. It's not obligatory. It's not obligatory. I hope that people don't understand what Ramesh said. They don't understand what Rav Soloveitchik said. But I have a completely different view of it. My view of it is, and I have to be honest, when I first learned the truth of Ramesh, I felt bad. I felt bad. Ad sheheir HaKadosh Baruch Hu einai, until the Rabbeinu Shalom. An example. The Svidei Yesh from Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, and it's true, the Svidei Yesh has a fascinating truth. He asks, why don't you make a bracha on the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? Purim? Mishloach Manos? I bring you an orange and an apple? I should show them the trace of the Tzivonu. It goes through a lot of wonders, but the bottom line doesn't tell you the bottom line. The whole purpose of Mishloach Manos was laharbol sedeos, that there should be friendship, to make friendship. What kind of friendship is it if I give you the apple and the orange and I say, listen, the fact is I can't stand you, but I have a mitzvah to fulfill. I shake it shon of the mitzvah, so v'tzivano, I have to do it, so you take the apple and the orange. There are certain mitzvahs that they have to come mitoch the shon of a human being. I have a number of other examples. Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Chassadik of Rafa, once said, there was some dude from Chutz Laaretz who called from Chutz Laaretz and says he wants to meet with the Rosh Yeshiva. And he prepared the whole sugya of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Is it the Raisa? Is it the Rabbanon? Is it an Issa the Raisa to live in Eretz Yisrael? Who knows all the shittas? Is it a minute? Is it no good? And finally, great day comes, he comes flying into Ben Gurion Airport, has a limousine take him to Rav Shlomo Zalman's rickety house in Shari Chesed. And finally, he's ushered into the presence of Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he's prepared with all of the lovers. And he starts asking Rav Shlomo Zalman, oh, this shita, that shita, the Chambam, the Rambam, the, okay. In the middle, not like Rav Shlomo Zalman usually is, he sort of stops him and he says, Sinisht Wichtig. That's Yiddish, means it's not important. Oh boy, this fellow's been preparing for this great meeting for a long time. What do you mean that God Lador is telling him it's not important? What's meant to Mashiach? What do you mean? He says, it's Nisht Wichtig. It's not important. The man is devastated. All his Torah that he's ready to pour out to Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman says it's not important. Then he explains to him, open up a chumash, and you'll see throughout Torah, Ritzon Hashem, The Ritzon Hashem, God's will, is that Jews should live in Eretz Yisrael. Who cares whether it's Dereisa, whether it's Derabonan, whether it's Minig? Makes no difference whatsoever. The Ritzon Hashem is there in every page of Torah. I had a problem. There was a certain Gadol B'Yisrael. Well, no, I can't tell the whole story. I spoke with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. It's fascinating. I saw somebody had an article, I don't know whether it was in the, I think it was in the Jerusalem Post. Jerusalem Post. I don't know what issue it was, that people in the United States, I think somebody said that you can't eat strawberries, and that became a major issue in the United States. Rabbonim and kashrus boards, everybody is getting all excited and people are asking their rabbi, yeah. Yes, strawberries, no strawberries. This is the great strawberry crisis of 2009. Until finally, the Pesach comes out, you can eat strawberries. And all of American Orthodox Jewry settles back. The crisis is over. And this fellow asks, and I've asked it so often, how many Talmidim have asked their Rosh Hashiva, is it a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? Should I go? Most of the shaylas that they ask are shaylas, if they would have bothered to open up the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, they would have seen the answer. Nobody asks the serious questions. That's a question of what you're going to do with your life. It's going to be a different life. Whether it's Los Angeles or Chicago or New York, or it's going to be Yerushalayim or Ramat Beit Shemesh. It's a whole story of a person's life. Isn't this something to ask a Vashiva, somebody who knows? And if you're afraid that maybe somebody in Chutz Laretz who's living there will not be able to tell you, yes, you should pick yourself up and go, you can call me or Rabbi Kahana. Maybe this is the kind of shaila that has to be passed in by people who live here. This is a serious decision for a person's life. The Hashem gave us a great gift. We have it. It's ours. Are we going to tell him, Hashem, keep your Eretz Yisrael? I'm Michael the Matana. What do you mean, Michael the Matana? You're Michael Torah. You're Michael Olam Haba. I also have very little patience for people who know much more. Good deal. You know what I think? I finally understood. I didn't think that I reached that point in life already. The pasuk says in Zos Habrocha, Zachor Yomos Olam. That's what I've been talking about. Remember what happened in history. Binu on the stench, Nolis Dor Medar, the years of all the generations. Sha'alo Vicho V'yagencho, I asked your father. Zekeinecha, I think we made it, we're there already. We are Zekeinecha. I never thought I'd ever get old. Zekeinecha, I don't feel old. Zekeinecha, the young one. You have to know. I will never ever forget the day of the establishment of the State of Israel. I lived in Williamsburg. I came in, it was a Friday afternoon. I came to Minchin, Yeshiva Torah V'das. There must have been, I don't know how many people in that shul with numbers on their arms. The shul didn't look like it had looked the week before. People were smiling. There was a sense of such excitement in the air. We have a Medina. The Jewish people have a home. And then somebody came running in the middle of Mincha. The same President Truman recognized the State of Israel. There was such an outburst of joy. Anybody who's going to tell me, what did it mean? It was nothing but nothing. You don't know. Ignorant. Ignorant of basic Jewish history. You know, two other things I'm going to say. That's it. In 1955, when I was here in Yeshiva, the first apples came onto the market in Eretz Yisrael. The first apples. They hadn't had apples. There were no apples in Eretz Yisrael for 2,000 years. By the way, that was a bracha. Did you learn Bahar and Bechukosai with the Rashi? Did you learn Bechukosai with the Rashi? The silence is shaking me. That's another Rashi you have to know. In the Tochacha, the good news of the Tochacha. In the middle of the Tochacha, it says, the land is going to be desolate. V'shomu aleha oyevechem hayoshvim bo. Your enemies who will live in the land will be desolate. Both the Ramban and Rashi, this is good news to Klal Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael will never receive our enemies. No people in history will ever be able to settle in this country. So I once thought to myself, did Rashi, after he wrote that, did he ever get up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night? God, you know, maybe 100 or 200 years down the line, the Japanese are going to come over here and Toshibas are going to be growing from all the trees. Did he ever turn over in his bed? Rashi wrote that comment and he was perfectly certain that's exactly what will be. And we can say Rashi was right. No people ever able to settle the land. The land never produced anything for anybody. It's only when Jews started coming back to Eretz Yisrael remained faithful to the Jewish people, and only for us has it given out its fruit. This is one of the great miracles that you see before your eyes. And the Gemara says it in Sanhedrin, Engel Chokets Megulam Yisuth, there's no greater reveal at the end of the day. Look up the Gemara Tzadik Ches Omer Aleph up at the top. Omer Rabbah says, there's no greater revealed end of days than this. And they quote a pasuk in Yecheskel, chapter 36, pasuk 8. V'atem har Yisrael, you mountains of Israel, ampechem titenu, uferichem tisu, lam Yisrael, kikeru lavo. Carry the fruit for the Jewish people. We see it in our days. I once said, one of my great words, you know, sometimes you come up with a good one, at least one in a lifetime. If you want to speak to the Rebbe Yisraelim, you go to the Kotel. If you want to see him, go to Shuk Machne Yehuda. There you see the Rebbe Yisrael, every tomato, every apple. But I have to tell you, those first apples in 1955, Lo Ra'iti apples Karo Al Zeh, they were bad, they were bad. And I was an American. I knew what an apple was. These Israelis didn't have a clue. All right, that's all changed. That's all changed. You can get anything you want. The Granny Smith and Delicious and whatever. But I once predicted the fall of the... I predicted the fall of the Russian Empire, the USSR. I was in Russia at the end of 83 when only heroes went to Russia. Today everybody and his kid brother goes to Russia back and forth. We were agents in place from the Israeli government going to Russia. I don't want to tell you all of the bravery and all of the great things that I did over there. But I'll tell you, I came with a cover. They blew my cover at passport control. They worked me over for 3/4 of an hour. If I survived that, I can survive anything. Anyway, 2 weeks later, we're on the way out of that Vashlugana, accursed country. It was terrible. And we were very hungry. We left all of our food with Jews in Russia. We were mamish hungry. And there was certainly nothing on that air flight that was Mahadran. I mean, it was Mahadran Treif. But then, I see at the end, I see they're bringing plates of fruit. Oh, fruit. Okay? They were apples. They were worse apple than Israel 1954. So I said to my friend, Rabbi Mala Dolinsky, the rector of Shalavim, I said to him, a superpower that can't produce a Vashlugana apple is going to collapse. From my mouth to God's ears, it collapsed. One story, final story, and with this, it's all over. This is a famous one, a made it famous at one time. Somebody just called me this afternoon. They're putting together a major volume about Eretz Yisrael. They're going to put that's going to be in there.
I was here on sabbatical in 1980-81 from West Hempstead. They gave me a sabbatical. I lived on Colonnade Road. Okay? I came back and came back, I think, in August. And I had been offered a job in Eretz Yisrael, and in November came the moment of crisis. I have to make a decision, and I have to notify Eretz Yisrael. Am I taking the job, or am I not taking it? It was the most difficult decision of my whole life. Here I was, comfortable as the respected rabbi of the Yom Kippur of West Hempstead. I was even making, eking out a living, too. We had a nice home. 629 Colonnade Road, right near Wildwood, and I have to make the decision. I have to notify her so can make the decision. Can't make the decision. The family was all for it, but I'm the breadwinner. I'm the one that's going to have to carry the brunt of this all. Now, a few houses away from us, there was a family of Balei Tshuva who had moved in some 5-6 years earlier. We were makarav them, we kashered their kitchen. Don't ask. They had a dog, Charlie, a colleague, always had a running nose. I don't like dogs, but Charlie got to know me, Charlie got to like me. It was a relationship, and you can see that Charlie had derech eretz for the rabbi in the community. Yavar Hayom comes the day that Charlie's parents say, Rabbi, we're going on Aliyah. I asked them, why are you going on Aliyah? They said, listen, we've been here in Shul 5 years. We've been listening to the reading of the Torah every Shabbos. Mind you, it sounded like Rav Shlomo Zalman. And all the whole Chumash is talking about Eretz Yisrael. We're going to live in Eretz Yisrael. But they're leaving Charlie. They left Charlie who forced the parents on the block. My minig always was, at night, about 10, 11 o'clock, I go out to work. I have to think of a shiur, think of a speech, do this, do that. And usually I would meet Charlie, who was being walked by his foster parents, and Charlie would come running over and snuggle under my arm, and I'd run back into the house and wash my hands with, The night comes that I have to make the decision, am I going on Aliyah or not? I go out for a walk. Most difficult decision of my life. The most difficult decision of my life. Vihine. Charlie Bolifanai. Charlie comes running over. He snuggles. I wanted to tell him, Charlie, I'm in the middle of thinking about the most difficult decision I have to make in my life, Charlie. What's listed for my garden? What do you want from me? Anyway, I hear the foster parents say, Rabbi, you won't believe it, Rabbi. We got a call today from Israel. They bought a ticket for Charlie. Charlie's going out on the yard. That dog is going to go on Aliyah, and I won't go on Aliyah. I walked into the house, and made the decision, and came on Aliyah. If there is a heaven for dogs, Charlie, all of our shoulders, Zechuso Yogeng Olenu is there. Now, it's not just a joke. The Rebbeinu sends us messages. To me, the Rebbeinu sent a message that hit me over the head. But he's sending messages all the time. If you're open, if you can receive, you'll be getting all sorts of messages telling you what it is you should do. You got to plan it, you have to get the parnasa, but you have to make a decision that we're not going to sit in New York and celebrate Yom Yerushalayim from there. Here, this is the place. Yet Hashem, despite the fact, and it's really expressed in Hallel, you're going to say Hallel Friday morning, you're going to say Zeh Hayom Oso Hashem, this is the day that the Rebbe Hashem made, no Gilo v'nisvichavo. May Eish Hashem Haytazot Hi Niflat Ve'Yenu. That's what Zechariah said. At the same time, of course, that we have to pray for the peace of Eretz Yisrael. Ona Hashem Oshiyano. Ona Hashem Oshiyano. Chag Sameach.